every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Amen. Why would anyone want to serve a life, a bloodless and lifeless God? We serve a living God. And there's power in His name. Amen. Whatever we have need of tonight, there's power in His name. Turn around and tell your neighbor there's power in His name. Amen. Hallelujah. We have not because we ask not. Ask that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Nice to be back here with you. Again tonight, praise the Lord. Thank you for the song specials and testimonies and what have you, joining your lick of fire. It makes a difference. It matters. You say, I'm just one voice. What difference could I make? Well, you just found out. It can make all the difference. Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Verse 6. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him. And be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come to you in the evening time, Lord, our hearts are filled with joy. There's merriment upon our lips. And Lord, we want to walk with you once again in the cool of the evening. And we desire your presence, your fellowship, your ministering, Lord, your healing, your deliverance, your comfort, your encouragement, your peace. Father, everything about you is our desire. And Lord, we just are so thankful just at the very thought of spending eternity with you. Lord, we just can't imagine what it would be like. We're just getting a foretaste in this life. We have a down payment on it, Lord, and this down payment, sometimes we can hardly contain it. Lord, we just want more of you. We would just want to be surrendered to you in a greater measure and want to remain hidden in you, Lord, and we just invite you to minister to us once again according to your perfect will and according to your plan, Lord, according to the needs that are in our lives, whether we're aware of them, whether we're not aware. Lord, we want to bring our petitions before you, but Lord, we just have to be honest tonight and say, Lord, we don't even know everything that we have need of, but we're trusting in you. So we're just inviting you to have your way once again. Lord, we're not worried about what you might do or what you might not do. We trust you completely, and we commit ourselves completely into your hands. Bless each and every one now, Lord. We give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I found that there's an air intake in here, and there's a section on the door, so it tells me the door needs to stay open a crack so that the air can flow through. And praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the air flowing through. Praise the Lord. So as we looked at it this morning, this tribe, the tribe of Levi that we're speaking of, they didn't have a place of their own. They didn't have property of their own that they could say, you know, this is for Levites only. And it's because of what Levi and Simeon had done in a fit of rage. And there were consequences, of course, to their actions. But God never cursed Levi. God never cursed Simeon. But a curse was put upon them because of the actions that they took. And yet, at the same time, men were raised up that came under the inspiration of God, and they were found to be faithful. And as a result, that prophecy on Levi, God turned it into a blessing. He didn't take away the prophecy. He can't do that, and he won't do it, but he turned it around and made it work for their good. So what would you and I have done for the kingdom of God if that's what we were born under? You know, if you knew that the prophecy that went forward concerning your particular tribe was that, you know, you'll never have a place of your own, and you're going to be blended in, mixed in with the other tribes, and, you know, what would we have done? You know, as it is, most of the New Testament is speaking of positive things concerning us. And yet, what do? So God inspires a mother and a father to pray for their son that Pharaoh has decreed would be put to death, along with all the other little boys at that time. And this young boy ends up being used to deliver Israel from Egypt and to bring judgment upon an entire nation. Now, isn't it ironic that the very ones that tried to carry out justice, to try to mete out justice, they did it in a wrong way and in a fit of rage, and that God turns around and takes someone from that very same tribe and uses them for that very same purpose, only this time it's righteous judgment. It's not insanity. It's anger, but it's righteous anger. So Moses speaks this blessing upon the tribe of Levi, and no doubt there are some Levites, you know, some that we've already talked about, Phinehas and so forth, that have already experienced the inspiration that would come upon the tribe. So this didn't come as a big surprise, because they were already experiencing it, living it, coming under it. But to the rest of the tribe, and perhaps, you know, the other tribes, perhaps their jaws were dropping and thought, well, wait a minute. This little know-nothing, mixed-up little group, and you're going to give them this kind of a blessing? Verse 8, and of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. So God gave the Urim and Thummim, and they were given not to just anyone, but it was given to chosen ones to use to judge matters with, showing the right and the perfect ways to walk in. And of course, we know that those two words mean perfect and light. And of course, it's a type of you know, we have the Word of God, but we need revelation to go along with it. We need light to shine on it. So we have the Word, and the Word judges. But without that light, we can't rightly judge or rightly divide. So there's very little that's spoken of. Brother Branham calls it Urim and Thummim. Urim, Thummim. There's very little that's spoken of concerning these tools or artifacts, whatever, that God had allotted to the tribe of Levi. And there's very little that the historians, there's a lot of probing and, you know, a lot of guesswork, but what we do know is that there was a breastplate that was worn on the chest of the high priest. Aaron wore a breastplate, and in that breastplate were stones, And in that breastplate, as far as we know, there were the names of the tribes of Israel were written upon it. And we know that matters were brought before the priest, and some say that they were kind of maybe yes or no type questions, and you know, and if it was a no, then the breastplate wouldn't light up, and if it was a yes, then it would light up. And some say that the, you know, the Urim and the Thummim, that they were different stones, and you know, one was a positive and one was a negative. This is all just speculation. But what we do know for sure was that God had given the Levites, you know, they wouldn't always have a prophet. And so in the absence of a prophet, God would give them something so that they could rightly divide and rightly judge matters amongst the people. And God had chosen this tribe. Talk about irony, friends. Here's a guy that in a fit of rage acts like an animal along with his brother and just does things that, you know, Hollywood would have a field day with. Just horrid things. And yet God takes some, God takes that very same tribe and says, I'm going to trust judgment unto these people. So the Levites, they actually received this tribal blessing because of the desires that some of the leaders, that some of them that God inspired amongst them, because of the desires that they had and the actions that they had as a result of their desires. And God knew that there would be many years in the future that a prophet would not be among them. And so they were given in type the word and a supernatural element. The word and a supernatural element. So they were given this breastplate, and then the supernatural element was the light that would shine on these elements, and there would be an answer based on that. It was a supernatural light. It was not a little flashlight that, you know, they held. It wasn't some little electric buttons or whatever. It was supernatural, and the Levites couldn't make it light up. It was the Lord that would make it light up. It was the Holy Spirit moving over it that would bring a witness or not witness to it. So it was a supernatural element. So the birthstones of the tribes were in this breastplate, and if say someone dreamed a dream and they brought it forward and it was told, and then there was an interpretation that was given about this dream, then they would be brought before the priest, and if this would if the breastplate would light up, it would be a vindication that that was the right interpretation of the dream. If it didn't light up, then, you know, So this wasn't given to other tribes. It was given to the Levites that would be scattered amongst the Israelites. And it came to them because of the men that were inspired and operated by the faith that God gave them, and men from that tribe that pressed on and in faith, responding to the inspiration that came upon them. Now, who will get this Urim Thummim when Moses is taken from the scene? Who will receive the word and bring it to the people? Who will answer the questions of the civil leaders, the kings, the different ones that would rise up among them? They'd have questions. They would normally go and consult the prophet, but there isn't always going to be a prophet. So who will determine, say, whether it's the Lord's will for Israel to go fight a battle or not? Or to stay still? So the breastplate was to be worn over the heart of the priest, and the names of the tribes would supernaturally light up in response to what God wanted for their lives. God wants to shine on our lives today. And God wants to show us the mystery of God for each and every one of our lives by lighting up on our lives and shining upon our lives, shining on your name, causing your name to light up. Brother Branham fulfilled his part, and he did a good job. Our grandparents, fulfilled their part. Our parents, if they've gone on, they've fulfilled their part. But what about you and I? Each one of us has a part to play. Each one of us has a portion. Each one of us is placed here for a specific purpose. And we're called to allow the Lord to fulfill that purpose in our lives. So God brought each and every one of us onto this earth for a purpose. And the prophet said it's up to each and every one of us to go before him and ask him, why am I here? And then let the Lord reveal to you what your purpose is. Somebody say praise the Lord. And of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. So those that stood for the word that were in the tribe of Levi, they are the very reason why these things came to the tribe of Levi. It wasn't something that the whole tribe did. It was something that a few did amongst the tribe. And the Lord is saying here, here's the reason. Oh, I hope somebody's listening. Here's the reason. You didn't know these things were going to come to you. And you didn't do it for that reason. You weren't doing it for a reward. You weren't doing it because you were trying to find favor. You were doing it because you felt compelled to do it. Because it came upon you. The inspiration came upon you. And you chose the harder way. But it was the right way. And because of this, a great portion. Oh, friends. You say, well, what does it matter? You know, I'm saved. I gave my heart to the Lord. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. What else matters? Everything. What you do in this life will determine what happens to you in this life. You're saved. You're sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Your destination is sure. We're not arguing that. But what takes place in your life and the rewards in the life beyond are determined by what you do. Hallelujah. So those in the tribe of Levi that stood on the word, they are the reason why these blessings are coming to the tribe of Levi. So the way that you stand for God, the order that you give God in your life, the importance, the position, the placement that God has in your life has a great deal to do with what happens to you in your life. We've been promised so much, and we've barely tapped into it. Now, the Lord Jesus is our high priest. Of course, we know that. So we see this shadow being played out here in the tribe of Levi. The Lord Jesus is our high priest, and our names are written in his heart. Our names are written in him. In fact, that's where you came from, was from within him. And when the light of our day comes and strikes you, you find that your name is illuminated by a supernatural light of the word. And you find your purpose. And you fulfill your purpose in this life. Somebody say praise the Lord. So because of the way that they stood for the Lord, and the Lord is enumerating this, he's being very specific. Because of the way that you stood for me at Massah and Meribah, it's actually speaking of the same place when they came to these waters, this blessing comes upon them. The people, recall the people had come to Moses for water and they're upset and they're complaining and they rebelled against Moses and the prophet said if, because they rebelled against Moses, they rebelled against God. Those that stood with Moses, they brought the blessings of God to the tribe of Levi. Actually, it was two men that redeemed the entire tribe. Two out of the entire tribe. Even though Moses made a mistake at Meribah, he made a mistake at those very waters and would be kept from coming into the promised land and taking the people into the promised land, his stand for the word overrode his mistake. And these two, they didn't know, as we said, they didn't know at the time what the eternal effects would be of the stand that they took when it was taking place. They just knew that they had to stand for what was right. Somebody say praise the Lord. Faith struck. Brother Branham said, they moved upon that pulsation of faith. Or he said, when the faith of God strikes you, friends, faith comes from God. Hallelujah. And when that faith strikes you, hallelujah, and you respond to that pulsation of faith, and you have a choice. Yeah. That's the bottom line. The faith will strike you and you can just let it do nothing. But when that faith strikes you, when you respond to that pulsation of faith that's given to you, something's going to take place. So Levi proves himself in these trials and in these tests through these tribal heads. And God says, speaking of the whole tribe, God says, you have been proven to be trustworthy. Therefore, I'm going to give you the word. I'm going to entrust it to you. And I'm going to not just give you the word, but I'm going to give you a supernatural vindication. You're not going to go with word only, but my presence will be with you. And I will vindicate that it's my word. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you happy tonight, friends? And I trust that you will judge rightly, even though your forefather didn't. And even though that trait is going to show up time and time again, as it did with Moses. I entrust you. You guys without a home. You guys that are mixed up with all the rest of the tribes. I trust you. Because you don't have a dog in the fight. You don't own nothing. You're not caught up in business deals and acreage and all that. I trust you with my word. And I trust you to rightly divide it amongst Israel. So the very thing, them being scattered, God turns it into a blessing. Because if God hadn't have done that, they wouldn't have been scattered amongst Israel. And Israel was blessed because the Levites were spread out amongst the tribes. Oh, hallelujah. God says you've been proven to be trustworthy. Therefore, I'm going to entrust you with the word. I want you to watch over it. I want you to carry this word. I want you to bear the burden of this word. It will be a burden. But I want you to carry it over your heart. And you will judge rightly. I'm confident of that. I've chosen you. And you will judge according to my word. Now, friends, this is an election. This has to do with character traits that are displayed among the tribes. You may not even have touched upon what God has called you to be in this life. There may be character traits that are in you that God wants to put on display. And when they're put on display, God will say at that time, you know, I've got something for you to do. As a result of that. Amen. And you have no idea. You're just busy being who you are in Christ. Praise the Lord. Verse 9. Who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. This is Levi speaking forth. I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren. Nor knew his own children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. These Levites would have no respect of persons when it came to handling the word. They would not say, well, you know, I can't say it because that's my daddy. I can't say it because that's my mama. I can't say it because that's my brother or that's my sister. They handled the word without regard of friend or favor. Relations didn't matter. Oh, come on, friends. Lord, help us. You know, a big percentage of what I hear about over and over and over is what takes place in the family. Why don't you just forget about it? Put God first. All these other things will work out. They'll be added to you. You say, but I want a certain kind of a relationship with mom or dad or sister or brother, and I don't think it's fair. And I think I ought to get it. And what are you willing to do to have that? We'll find out who your mother and your father and your sister and your brother are here in just a moment, according to the word of God. You may never have, you may feel sorry for yourself and say, well, I don't have godly parents and I don't have godly brothers or sisters. And every time I get around them, they want me to compromise. Well, then don't get around them. Oh, but that, you can't be that way. If you're a Levite, that's how you'll be. If you're a son or daughter of God, you'll stand for God over everything else. If not, you're a compromiser. And God will never use a compromiser. So they have no respect of persons when it comes to handling the word. Brother Brown said, what's a good pastor to do? He said, just let the chips fly. Just let them land. Let them hit wherever they're supposed to hit. So where did these traits come on display? How did God know that he could trust these guys? Well, they proved that they loved the Lord above all else. When family came to town, they didn't take Sunday off. Ouch. Ooch. Oh my. Because they love God more than they love family. Oh, go ahead and stare at me. Let those eyes just burn right through me. Just be honest. You're going to love something more than the other. You're called to be in the house of the Lord. This is the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord has made. No, he won't understand if you put mom and dad first. He won't. Put him first. Put God first in everything. You want to be blessed? You know, I hear that all the time. Well, how come this family this and that family that? And how come I don't? And how come this, that, and the other? Have you put God first? Is he number one? Oh, but that's so difficult. It's such a great price. That's exactly right. Amen. It's the greatest price that you could pay. But it's an honor to pay that price. You haven't even began to give anything back to God. This is our little feeble attempt to give something back to God. And he'll take it and multiply it. And he'll say, that's my girl. That's my boy. Hallelujah. You'll see blessings that you've never seen. Oh, I don't want to walk alone. You won't. With God, you and him are a majority. Oh, friends, when you're in the presence of the Lord, when his presence is with you, in you, upon you, what do you care about anything else? What do you care if the whole world turns their back? Hallelujah. Where's your love? What kind of love are you talking about? Laodicean love or the love of God? Compromising love makes me want to throw up. Makes God want to throw up too. That's such a low form of love. It's about like prostitution. That is love, but it's perverted. It's the right thing done the wrong way. So they put God first, and God saw that. It was demonstrated. This wasn't theoretical. It wasn't, well, I'm going to say this, and because of election and whatever. It was already demonstrated. They didn't play favorites. Let's look at this for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Now Belial's the devil. They knew not the Lord. Eli was a priest. Where's Eli at? This has nothing to do with you. You're Ellie. This is Eli. Eli sees that his kids are no good and that his kids aren't living right. And he knows it. He absolutely knows that they're not doing right. And he doesn't stop it. He's born of the right tribe, but he's not under the right spirit. So you could be a Levite and not be of the right spirit. Just as you could be of Judah and not be of the right spirit or any of the other tribes. By lineage, he's in the right place. But he wouldn't have taken the right stand at Meribah. Or at the golden calf. He wouldn't have taken the right stand there. You say, well, how do you know? Because he's not taking the right stand with his family. Friends, someone that's called of God to handle the word, someone that's called of God to be a shepherd to the people, somebody that's called of God, they won't compromise whether it's their mom, whether it's their dad. You know, I've had people judge me from the very beginning. Well, he doesn't have a cozy relationship with his mom and dad. That's right. I couldn't without compromising. But I'm going to see my parents on the other side. I believe that with all my heart. I never gave up on them. I never sent them to hell. But I didn't hang out with them and drink wine like you do with yours. Let that fall wherever it's supposed to. Praise the Lord. I didn't skip church when they came and visited, and they did. And don't think that they don't know that they're coming on Sunday. Don't think your relatives don't know that either. And the devil's trying to use them to twist you around. You're being tested. God's watching. You want more of God? Serve God. Put Him first. This is real, friends. This isn't playland. It's real. And there are real results to it. I haven't spared my own children. I was asked, well, when it came to church discipline, well, have you done this with your daughter? Yes. Duh. Twice now. She'll be back. You operate by the word of the Lord. You say, where's your love? That is love. Well, I could never do that. Well, you need to get more of God in your life. That's why you're not called to handle the word. And yet, oh man, I'm sorry. I don't know how I got into this. But we got people in the church. I can't believe how that was handled. Why isn't brother so-and-so being restored? I don't know. Why aren't you doing it? You got the word, right? You're a Levite? Huh? You're handling the word? What's the right way to handle it? We handled it according to the word. Well, I don't think it's right. Well, then you go and do it. Let's see how it works out. You don't get to second guess and third guess. Now, if you got scripture on it, that's a whole different thing. If you got scripture on it, you have every right to come and sit and reason and talk it over. But when it's done according to the word, and it's not easy. Sometimes you will stand completely alone. But every one of us, I don't care who you are, you don't need to be a Levite. Every one of us walks alone with God. And every one of us will find ourselves in a place where we'll be tested. And we'll be proven whether we're going to walk with God or we're going to take the, you know, go with the big group. And have people speak well of us. Jesus said, beware when people speak well of you. When all men speak well of you. If you're serving God, they won't. If they didn't speak well of Him, how do you think they're going to speak well of you? He didn't do anything wrong. We've done things that are wrong. We've earned, you know, a few dings against us. He did nothing wrong. And yet, they couldn't speak well of Him. Well, help us out here, Lord. You say, I want to have revival. This is how you have one. You have a revival when you make up your mind, God, your way is my way. I'm not playing any longer. I'm in this all the way. And if I'm the only one that's standing there in the end, Lord, I'll serve you. You won't be, but that has to be your attitude tonight. Pick at it. And so fashionable in this age, of all ages. Well, I think, and I think, and I think. Well, then why do you have such a puny job and puny house and puny reputation? Because you're so smart. Come on. You're so wise. How come you haven't mastered the stock market? Come on, you know everything. Why are you still here? That's so petty. We need to just tell one another, you know what, I don't have time for that. You don't really mean that. Shut up. Let your amen be amen and everything else. Life and death. This is serious stuff. When we have to do certain things, there's fasting, there's prayer, there's agonizing, there's lost nights of sleep. In fact, I forgot what a good night's sleep is like. And it's not just age. It's the burden that comes with with the work. Which one of you has quit your job to do, to just completely do what God called you to do? Which one? Why do you think somebody would do that? Because it means so much to that person that they want to serve God. I could have stayed there. I would have been moved up into the top echelons of engineering. And I'd have a house up on the hill. And I could have done it. They didn't want to lose me. Fortune 50 company. But I chose this because that's where my burden is. This is what I want to do. And to have it picked over and second guessed by people that don't even live right. Well, that's how it is. Whatever you do, you're gonna be criticized for it. You don't want to be criticized, just don't do anything. Make sure you never do anything. Wow, Brother Baker, that sounds like pressure. You have no idea. Unless you're living a Christian life, then you're under pressure too. Your neighbors won't understand you. Mom and Dad won't understand you. Uncle Bill won't understand you. Aunt Jane won't understand you. Right? While we're at it, you won't understand you. But God knows. How many can say, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many can say here tonight, you know, I know the difference between truly deciding to serve God and sort of half-heartedly doing it. And when I truly decide to serve Him, I've never been so blessed. I've never been so close to Him. Things have come that I never expected. I never thought that these blessings, I wasn't even looking for these things to come, but because of the choice that I made, this life is worth living. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's an honor to be with people like that. You know, I wouldn't last a week in the denominational incubation church, you know, denominational chicken barnyard. I wouldn't last a week. As soon as they started trying to wrap me around their finger and tell me what I could preach and what I couldn't preach. Tell me how they thought things ought to be. Well, praise the Lord. Take that, devil. First Samuel 2:17. Wherefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Things began to creep in. And the ministry didn't deal with it. And you know, that's the story of life. Every time God has moved and brought His Word or restored His Word and brought people back to the Word, there's great revival, there's great deliverance, there's a great move of God, there's the supernatural is an everyday occurrence. But then as time goes on, people begin to lower the bar. They begin to relax. And the next generation, you know, they begin to try to make things easier for their children and easier still for the grandchildren and begin to compromise. And before you know it, things creep in. And before you know it, God's not even in the picture. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and they came unto Samuel. They came to Samuel unto Ramah. Now, previously we're talking about Levites. We're talking about the priests. Now we're talking about a prophet. Samuel's a prophet, right? Verse 5. And they said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So Samuel's sons, they're not living before the Lord as Samuel did. Samuel's not compromising, but his sons are. And it's a failure in the prophet's family. And this failure in the prophet's family causes these others to ask for a denominational headship. Because they're looking at the failure in the prophet's family. But friends, God doesn't have grandchildren or great-grandchildren. God has children. And God is faithful to every generation. And he's faithful to everyone that takes him at his word and stands upon his word. We can't go forward even ourselves based on what God did for us at one time. At a time when perhaps we were on fire for the Lord. I say that, friends, with everything that's in me tonight. Yeah, we can play that election card, and I believe in election. But if you want to go further with God, if you want to see God on the scene, you cannot rely or live off of some sacrifice you made 50 years ago. Or some way that God used you 40 years ago. Or 30 years ago when you were shouting your shoes off. And now you've made an excuse for why you've just kind of settled down. Now, if you're not the shouting type, I understand that. But if you are the shouting type, what happened? What changed? If you used to jump around like a jumping bean, why aren't you jumping around like a jumping bean? If we used to see the bottom of your tennis shoes, how come we haven't seen them for a while? It's not because you changed to Adidas or what's that one with the Betsy Ross Nike? Is that it? You know, where some crazy Laodicean got the shoe company to quit making it because the Betsy Ross flag was on there and trying to rewrite history. Just stupidity, just insanity, and people will go for this. If your greatest time is something in the past, can I say it?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
If your greatest time and your greatest testimony is something in the past, you're backslid. How could you say that? Brother Brown said, I backslid every day. And I said, Lord, help me. Amen. The challenge is not to get the victory. The challenge is to keep the victory. The challenge is not to have a Holy Ghost filled meeting. Is to keep a Holy Ghost filled meeting. The challenge, friends, there are some of us that are absolutely content with once a year revivals. I'm not one of them. But there are some of us that are okay with that. I can't wait for the special meetings. I can't wait to go to North Carolina. I can't wait to go to Louisiana, Indiana, wherever it might be. Why can't you have God now? Well, it's the rest of the church's fault. No, you just don't want to work for it. You want to rent a revival somewhere. You want some paid preachers to make it happen for you. Because they're going to just pump it up. You've seen them. They're just going to pump it all up. They're going to come shouting their shoes off. And pretty soon it's just going to take over the building. You're just going to get swept up in it. And hallelujah. And then go home and cool off again. Till next time. Friends, we can stay in revival. And I guarantee you, if we were under more pressure, we would. Please don't let it be pressure that causes us to stay in revival. Oh, anything could happen tonight. I see all kinds of things. There's no reason for status quo. There's no reason for low expectations. Every service is important. Every time we come together, we're in His presence. Well, hallelujah. Whew. Hope I have a job after this. I'm still going to preach. Praise the Lord. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We don't have confidence in your family. We've seen what happens. We've lost confidence in the ministry. So, make us a king. That's not God's idea. God gave them a prophet. They wanted a king. One generation stands firmly on the word. Time goes by. Then compromising rises up. Well, you see, Brother Baker, it's like this. This is the deal. Revival time is over. Speak for yourself. You're the revival. We're not looking for America to have a revival. But the bride is in revival. And this revival will end in a body change. There's no way you'll overcome if you're not in revival. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 47. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee, Lord. But he answered them, wasn't too politically correct. But he answered them and said unto him that told him that, he said, Who's my mother? And who are my brethren? Now, friends, it wasn't that he didn't have the right kind of respect for his mother and for family members and all that, but God came first. Who's my mother? And who are my brethren? You know, as if he's going to give them special treatment and special favor. He's doing what he's called to do. And the natural things of life are trying to say, hey, wait a minute, you've got to give us first place. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and he said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. Who's his mother and his brethren? For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. People say, well, I got relatives that came to town, and that's why I haven't been to work for a month, or haven't been to church for a month. Well, your relatives are here. This is your family. Those that do the will of your father. That's your mother. That's your father. That's your sister. That's your brother. That's your family. Don't you love your family? Of course I do. It's a matter of priorities. Because one of you is going to lead the other. And if you're going on their ground, guess who's being led? I just want to show my superior love. I'd say that's a pretty low down love. I'd hate to have to count on you in a pinch. Because that's a compromising love. I'd want to know that you're having the kind of love that I'm in a jam. And it's going to require a great sacrifice from you to help me. But I know you're not a compromiser. So you're going to do what's right and not what's convenient. Friends, don't let it be pressure. These words will come back to you otherwise. Don't let it be pressure that causes us to live like we're supposed to live. We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about your destination. We're talking about doing the will of the Lord. We're talking about our purpose being fulfilled in this life. There are people asking questions out in California right now. Right? That was an earthquake. It's been about 20 years since we had one like that. 7.1, right? And they're saying, well, you know, it's a good thing it wasn't in the real thickest stuff. And why is it that it always hits the liquor stores? You see liquor bottles all over the floor. How do I know some drunk didn't go in there? You look at it, you think, so? Liquor bottles all over the floor, so? That's where they belong. There was some whiskey, big whiskey company that's hundreds of years old. What is it, Jim Beam or, I don't know, something like that. Kentucky, is that right, or Tennessee? Find out who the whiskey drinkers are. No, that's in Scotland. I'm not talking about malt. Something happened and the fire burned, I don't know, thousands and thousands of barrels of whiskey. You know, just listening to little news clips of the earthquake, and people are saying, we know that the big one's coming. And we were wondering, is this it? It's like, well, what are you still doing there? You know it's coming. And you're like, we dodged a bullet. I didn't know that's the game we were playing. Dodge bullet. Okay, I get it. You know, we laugh about it, but we could do the same thing in the church. Oh, wow. You know, I thought that that was, you know, and I was going to get serious. Well, you know how to get serious. And stay serious. Don't excuse one another. If you love one another, don't give in to that. Well, of course, you know. I mean, I've had to deal with this in my own family. My own family said, well, you know, that's a relative that they came and from such and such a place. Yeah, but what do you do on Sunday? And why can't I be like you? I can't take the day off because families come. What would you think if I did that? Well, Levi, you know, I was going to come to church, but my parents came. You know, so we went to the mountains or to the whiskey factory. Or what would you think? Is that would you like to have a pastor like that? Oh, he's hip. He's cool. I'm just noticing today. The cool church, why did they change their name? Now it's called The Bridge. Bridge to where? Bridge to nowhere. What happened to cool? I guess they wore that out. Or maybe they got too many cool cats. They thought, man, we don't want any more of this coolness. You don't want a compromising pastor. Right? But you need to live by the same standard. We have so many here tonight that are faithful. They're faithful to their post of duty. They don't take it lightly. If they're not here and they have a post of duty, they have a position, they let us know. They don't ask for permission and they don't need to. But we're family. Father, mother, sister, brother. Right? And we're serious about it. If you're more serious about your job than you are about this, let me know how it works out for you. I can tell you how it works out for you. You'll be spewed out of his mouth. That's lukewarm. I don't want to be extreme. You better be. You better either be the frozen chosen or red hot. But if you're Mr. Balance, you're on your way out. Spewed out. Henry, why'd you order this message tonight? Truck's around back and keys are on the desk. And this is a shadow. And look at what God did. Look at what he said about the Levites. And look at the blessing that came because of what they did. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my mother, my brother and sister and mother. So the people at that time, no doubt, they thought that mother and brothers had a special place just because they were related. But Jesus didn't play that card. Well, mom's come in town. I was going to go to the synagogue, but I was going to be about my father's business, but mom's here. It's Mother's Day. Every day is Mother's Day. Yet we know that Mary had to go to the upper room just like the rest of them. She didn't get any special treatment, cut any slack. How about James? James is the Lord's half-brother. You never hear him say that. You never hear him playing that card. Well, my brother is the Lord Jesus. And we know the Lord Jesus had the Urim. He was the way, the truth. Or how about Barnabas? Barnabas stood with there was a young boy by the name of Mark, his sister's son. And Barnabas wanted Mark to come along. And Paul said, nope, I don't agree with that. I don't think, maybe he's too young or too inexperienced. Whatever the reason, the prophet of God said, nope, don't bring him along. Barnabas said, I'm going to do it. So Barnabas chose family over a prophet of God, over the word of the Lord. And we don't hear anything about Barnabas after that. Barnabas is out of the picture. Paul chooses Silas. The work continues on. Each of us has to stand alone with God. Your family can't stop you. The devil can't stop you. The church can't stop you. The world can't stop you. The government can't stop you. Each one of us stands in a world alone. As Brother Branham put it, we all walk in a world alone with God. He gives the orders, we pack them out. Some of you are madder than hornets. Well, at least I'm getting some emotion out of you. I'm just a TV program that you're going to turn off here in a moment. And that voice will carry on. If you don't listen, you're going to hear these words again. You will. I'm duty bound. Friends, you think this is fun? You think somebody enjoys having to be plain? The guy that wants to do it, I have no confidence in him. I've never met a God called man yet that wanted to say things plainly. But we're duty bound. Because there's power in it. Verse 9, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they observed thy word and kept thy covenant. Look at God's attitude towards the stand that these men took. They showed that they would not compromise for their family. They stood for God, and God blessed them for their stand. You'll help your family so much more if you'll stand with God. You'll hurt your family if you compromise. Because there's no power in your life. I'll tell you what, friends. When I stand before the Lord, I don't want to hear anything about compromising. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Notice the Lord says, they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. Godly representatives among the tribes. Just a few. One for many. Isn't that how it is for you and I? Whether you realize it or not, first of all, you have to get over the pity party. And every one of us has one. Every one of us will invite feelings to join our pity party. We'll buy party hats, confetti. What are these things called? You only see them at parties. I don't know what they do with them the rest of the time. Or how about those little pop bottle things, and you pull on it and confetti, it makes a popping sound and confetti goes all over the place. That's how our pity parties are sometimes. Go through the first, second, and third pulpit, all the decorations that we want everybody to see it. Right? But it's the wrong picture. Well, if I do this, I can remember from the very beginning of my walk when the message came across my path. I didn't want to compromise on anything. And I didn't know whether something was necessarily right or wrong. But I didn't want to take a chance. So if there was any question, I erred on the side of get away from it. There were many years where we had absolutely nothing to do with Christmas. Because I knew that you know, there was paganism that had worked its way into it, and I knew that they took this Son of God and replaced the Son of God with the Sun God, who's born on December 25th. It's the shortest day of the year, but then the Sun God, the Phoenix, comes forth out of the ashes. The Sun God is born. Romans Catholics put that in there, right? And the heathenism, the crazy Christmas tree. You know, I realize people are going to do whatever they want to do, but I still don't get that. I shake my head. I've always shook my head. I shook my head as a Baptist. What's a tree got to do with anything? Why do you got to have it? Why do you want to slit your wrists if you can't put up a tree, deck it with tinsel and all that, so that your cat can lick the tinsel and throw up on your presents, and your tree could catch fire. You got to drag it out somewhere, whatever. You know, you do whatever you, whatever. But I wanted to get as far away from that as I could. But the Spirit of the Lord begins to deal with you. You begin to mature and you realize, you know, all things are legal, but not all things are expedient. Right? You realize there's nothing wrong with giving a gift to your children and talking about Christ, and Christ is the reason. Yes, we know he wasn't born in December and all that, right? But you don't have that kind of a balance on anything to begin with, right? So you have to swing the pendulum. If you don't know where the balance is, get away from it. I'm not sorry for what we did. Not sorry at all. Because I want to do what's right. I don't want to play around with this. I've got some of you are just, man, you were mad. Now you're really mad. Hallelujah. Best reaction you've had all year. Well, praise the Lord. Especially if you're a woman, you're really mad at me. Because women have the hardest time with this. Because women love tradition. Just admit it, friends. Nothing wrong with that. Please admit it. Okay, thank you. It's not so much the thing, but it's the tradition of it. Right? There's some kind of comfort that comes out of it. Right? My wife always wants to light a fire on Christmas Day when it's 92 degrees outside. Sounds like tradition to me. Sure don't have nothing to do with the weather. Got the AC on and the fire burning. Well, hallelujah. How am I going to get out of this one? I had 66 albums. And I had a very expensive needle on my record player. It was, you know, elliptical shaped and diamond stylus. I had some kind of a radioactive thing that, you know, I don't know why they sell this kind of stuff, but it had some kind of weak radioactivity to it so that it would ionize or, you know, attract things that had a charge, or it would create a charge. I don't know. It did something. And that it made it easier to pick up the lint and different things on the, because, you know, you want perfect sound, and you don't want to scratch this beautiful rock and roll album, and, right?
Dishwasher.
Yeah. What's that?
Dishwasher.
Disc washer. Yeah, not dishwasher. Disc washer. Yeah. You know these big old concert speakers, and you know just you know, anyway. I thought, man, I'm getting rid of those. So I start going through it, and I get down to, you know, Linda Ronstadt and the Something Riddle Orchestra, and it's, you know, Christmas music and whatever. So that what's wrong with that, right? I forget what the Something Riddle Yeah, maybe you know. But in my mind, I'm trying to think, okay, what should I keep? What should I get rid of? I got rid of all of it. I didn't want to hold on to any of it. Next thing to go was the TV. Oh, I just said that like my wife. She always puts the pronunciation on the first syllable instead of the second. TV. Instead of TV, like the rest of us. TV. I've been living with her for too long. Shows that we're coachable. She wasn't as enamored. She hadn't caught the vision. She didn't know what we were getting caught up in. So I was just weird. You know, I told her, we're getting rid of the TV. And, you know, somebody tried to jip us, you know. Somebody said they were coming over and they were trying to tell me, you know, they were trying to come up with all excuses why they're going to pay me the lower price. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And it just floored them. Same thing with the records. When I took the records into the record store to sell to the guy at the record shop, he was looking at some, oh, this has got a scratch on it. I'm thinking, no, you're a liar. I know. I'd know if there was a scratch on there, and there'd be heads rolling. Who touched my record? So, just trying to chisel, and I'm like, you know, just take it. You know, if you want to chisel me down and say, give me 50 cents for it, or whatever, just take it. And he's like, really? I said, yeah. And he looks at me, and he gets real suspicious. Are you moving into CDs now? Is that what it is? I said, no, I just don't want it in my house any longer. I want it out. Here. I traded those 66 albums for 66 books. Amen. 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 Never look back. Amen. I want you to know that God blessed me immediately for these steps that we took. Amen. Try this wishy-washy, compromising, balanced approach. Well, you know, well, let's don't be, you know, we don't need to be fanatical about it. You need to put God first in everything. And if you don't know, if you don't have the Urim and Thummim on it, just err towards the side of doing what's right. God's not going to take anything good from you. Amen. I don't know how I got onto this. But people saw it in my life right away. And it began to get people's attention. Because they saw the other life I was living. They saw that, and now they see this other life. That did more. We were the talk of all of the families. You know, and the families would get together. Oh, don't you think this is extreme? You know, oh, what do you guys do? You don't have a TV. What do you do? We talk to one another. We read. We go for walks. People can't even imagine what it's like to live without a TV. At work, people would hear, oh, did you watch the SquarePants, whatever? I mean, you can't make this stuff up, you know. And it'd be the big talk, you know. And they'd finally get around, well, did you watch it? No. Well, were you home? Yeah. Well, did you watch something else? No. Well, why not? Because I don't have a TV. Oh, you poor thing. You know, I've got a spare one in my garage that I'll give you. No thanks. No thanks. Why? I don't want it in my house. Well, why not? Because I don't want my kids seeing all the stuff that's on TV. Well, they're going to see it anyway. You see how deluded that makes you after a while? See how deceitful it is? How many of you have seen a murder lately? How many of you seen public adultery? The things that take place. They watch it all the time. And they think that's reality. But what about the socialization? Exactly. I don't know how I got off way up. I'm just going to stay here for a few more moments. I took a little break last Sunday. I should have planned it better. I should have went fishing or something, but I was so tired. I get to the place where I run myself into the ground. I just have a history of it. I'm one of these. It's not because I'm virtuous. It's because I'm driven. And if you're driven, you're born that way. And the way that you stop is you fall. That's how you stop. And you don't know how to stop. You don't know how to turn it off. And you feel guilty if you do. So I talked to the brothers and told them, I just need to take, I'm not going anywhere, but I just need to take a day off. And so I did. Still spent time with the Lord and got some good studying in and what have you, but just took a little time off. And on Saturday, so I guess that's part of why I didn't go do something. It's because it ain't no fun without my wife. You know, I know lots of people that they do all kinds of things with other people, and they think that's so fun, but your best friend ought to be your mate. So I thought, well, I'll just wait till she gets back, and we'll go do something. And we are. We're going to go do something this next Sunday, and I pray that all of you come to church while we're not here, but I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to go to North Dakota. I haven't been there since in 46 years, and I lived there for 4 years when I was younger, and for some crazy reason, I want to go back. And anyway, get a little break. But anyway, Saturday I go to this La Buzz Cafe. And, you know, in modern days, you know, the way things are changing, it's just all kind of groupy kind of stuff. And I'm by myself. And you just, if you're going to eat in there, you're going to have to sit at a table right next to other people. And I'm not really comfortable with that, but I'm pretty good at just ignoring everybody and acting like I know they're not there, but yet I'm listening. How could you not? They're sitting right next to you. So in a table right next to me, there's a guy who's 25. How do I know that? Because he said so. And his wife, and he thinks he's so smart. And I feel bad for him because he's actually comfortable with how smart he thinks he is. And his wife, and there's another girl about their same age, and you know, they're discussing everything, and what's your opinion about this, and what's your opinion about that. But of course, their opinions are facts, right? And as I'm listening to them, and I'm getting a picture of what the world is like around us, they're spewing all the things that they're hearing from the so-called news. I don't care which side it is. It ain't news. It's commentary. And there's an agenda. And they're both sides are fighting for power, and they're fighting for soldiers. They're looking for somebody to be their mouthpiece. Don't be their mouthpiece. Be his mouthpiece. Amen. So I'm listening, and this guy thinks he's so smart. And so, you know, the girl across the table, she surprises me. She said that she was homeschooled in California and, you know, thought that was the right way to go. And he says, well, you know, I don't know about that. And I don't, you know, I don't think it's right for us to, you know, come out of public school. We ought to stay there and help them. You know, but instead coming out and the private schools and charter schools and all that, you know, we really ought to stick it out. And I'm thinking, you're an idiot. And of course, he didn't go to, he follows it up a little while later. He says, well, I kind of went to, you know, a nice public school that was in a rich neighborhood with whatever. And it's like, well, you don't even know what you're talking about. But he's, you know, speaking these great platitudes. Well, this is the thing to do. And then I'm hearing this opinion and that opinion and this opinion. And it's all stuff that they're being told. There's no thought that's involved in that at all. There's no checking it out. And I'm thinking, what chance do we have? What chance does the next generation have with this, the stuff that's being pushed into their, that's being called truth? You've got the truth. We alone, as believers, not us, but as believers, we're the only ones that have the truth. The rest of it is nonsense. And yet people just swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. Just, and they're comfortable with it. And they're also comfortable in turning on you. You know, you're hateful, mean-spirited. What a privilege it is to stand for the word this hour. If somebody doesn't stand for what's right, how are people going to know what's right? There has to be a voice in this hour. Amen. And you are that final voice in this final age. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Actually, let me back up here for a moment. One for many. One man in the garden, in the first garden, affects many. Another man in a second garden, what he does, we all benefit from. Another man was sent to us in this last garden, Satan's Eden. And without going into too much detail, Brother Branham goes beyond the curtain of time. And he's, you know, just to cut it short, Brother Branham said, I want to see Jesus. You can't see him right now. You have to be judged. Then you'll see him. And he says, oh my, does Paul have to be judged? And they said, oh yeah, he has to be judged. He wipes his forehead. Well, then I don't have anything to worry about because I preach the same thing Paul did. I preach the Holy Ghost just like Paul did. And they all screamed out, we're resting on it. And guess what? I believe that your theophany was there. I believe that you were part of that chorus that said, we are resting on it. Amen. We are resting on it. That is where our confidence is at. I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He'll turn the hearts of the children, the fathers, to the children, lest I smite the earth with a curse. One man for many. Verse 10. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. So, isn't this something? The curse is being that Levi is scattered in Jacob. You know, Jacob is speaking of Israel in all the tribes. But as a result, they're going to teach Jacob. And what better way for the Levites to teach Jacob than to be scattered among them? To be scattered amongst Israel. See how God turned that around? There were so many cities that were allotted to Levi within each tribe, within Dan and Judah and different places. So they didn't have land of their own, but they had cities that were set aside just for the Levites. They were scattered throughout the entire land. And as a consequence, they aren't tied down to business. And they don't have to, there are businessmen that have a gift to convince people, to sell people. And they try to use that and bring that in with the work of the Lord. God never intended for those two to, they're not the same. And then when they went to Jerusalem at times from the different tribes, it was only the men that went to Jerusalem. The women stayed back. It was the men that went. So what about the women? Who's going to teach them? Who's going to teach the children? So God placed Levi among the people. And since Levi didn't have acreage to worry about, everybody else could be worrying about that, and Levi could labor in the word. And God took this tribe, and he used this tribe to bring Jacob into harmony with his word. So there's a curse that God turned into a blessing, and then God blesses Levi. And you say, well, that's not fair. But then Levi blesses Israel. Hallelujah. I'm just going to keep you another minute. So God turns this prophecy around and makes it work for Levi and for Jacob. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 11. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. That's kind of interesting, Brother Dutch. What book is that? What book did we just read from? Leviticus. Levi Chikas. This is their book. Here they didn't have a place amongst the people. And now they got a book. And this book is the mystery of Levi amongst the people. And what, how God is going to use, this is their purpose, and how God is going to use Levi amongst the people. Don't you go through that pity party for a moment and say, well, there's where I left off. I knew that I was supposed to tie a loop around that, a bow, and I lost that thought. So very early in the walk, when we got rid of different things, and I'm not wanting to take any chances with anything, and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if I do these things, if I get rid of the albums, you know, quit smoking and drinking and clean up my life and throw the TV out. And don't look at me with shock. You were a sinner too. You say, no, I wasn't. Then you're still a sinner. Some of us just admit it. The devil told me, you know what? You're going to lose your wife over this. That killed me. I don't believe in divorce. Now, please don't take that the wrong way. I'm not judging anybody. But when I said, till death do us part, I meant it. Because I thought that's what we were saying. And I was sure that that's the direction that I wanted to go. For better or for worse. Rich or poor. Well, we've seen the poor part. Made it through it. I was pretty convinced by the devil that, and I couldn't understand why God would do something like that. But the devil pretty much convinced me, you know, if you just go all the way with this, like you said you're going to do, if you go all the way with it, she's going to leave you. And I agonized over that, and I prayed, and I said, well, Lord, if that's what happens, I'm still going to serve you. I'm putting you first. I'm not taking any chances. I'll quit school if that's what you want me to do. And a lot of so-called spiritual message believers told me that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. Said, quit school, come out here to Arizona, do it by faith. Am I staying on your porch or who? Faith is a revelation. It's not, I'll try this and see how it works out. It's God speaking to you. If God puts it on your heart, do it.
Amen.
Don't. Faith isn't somebody else's idea on something. Amen. Anyway, but I would have done it if the Lord would have gave me a word. And I actually put him to a test on it. And he proved otherwise. But we were sure about everything. But I thought, Lord, I don't want to lose my wife. And I don't want to lose my wonderful children. But I am going to serve you. And once I made that choice and walked in it, and this is how it works, friends. God will leave you hanging on a limb. Once I did that, then the Lord came along and said, do you think I want to take something good from you? You think I want to take your wife from you? You think that's what I want to do? You think I've called you to live some kind of monastic life where anything that gives you any kind of peace or happiness in this life, I'm going to take it from you? You think that's what I want? I don't want that. All I want is for you to be willing. Willing. To put me before that. And once I know that, just as with Abraham, I'll stay your hand. I won't take that boy from you. Amen. The Lord got a hold of her too. Brought her in too. Supernaturally, and it's not because I beat her into it. God gave me grace. And I gave her grace. And then he gave her grace. And then she came. There ain't no easy way to come. They all gotta come the same way. There's no easy way. We all have to make that choice. But how many knows that you can't ever outgive God? He'll owe nobody. Whatever you give him, oh, it's so true, friends. Especially you young people, I want you to hear me. There's nothing that you give up that God won't reward you for. That he won't not only give you something, but he'll give you more than you ever gave up. I know this is the hardest age to serve him, but it's also the greatest age. And God has more for you. But if we partway try to do it, we'll never see the blessings. And it'll just seem like hardship and bondage. But if you sell out, say, Lord, I'm willing to do anything. Then he'll say, well, you know, I actually wasn't going to have you do everything that you imagined. I just wanted to know if you're willing to do it. It's a wonderful thing to know that you've been through it, that it's not theoretical. We were talking about that earlier. I don't know how I'm getting all over the place, but we are. That's where we're at tonight. Maybe I need a break. Maybe you need to pray for me. He's out of his mind. He's just blabbering up there now. Take some time off. We were talking about, we had some visitors this morning, and you know, God's gonna keep bringing people in. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. You just wait and see. And some of you got to testifying and talking, and somehow the subject came up of what, you know, how far you're willing to drive to come to church. And they were shocked. Wow, you guys come from all these different distances, and some an hour and a half here and whatever. And, you know, the prevailing wisdom is, as they tried to tell Brother Joel, you know, Brother Joel said, I'm driving an hour to church or whatever it is. I'm driving across town. They said, but there's a Lutheran church just down the street. And he says, yeah, but I'm not getting fed. That's not where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to go where I'm supposed to be. Just that alone speaks volumes. Well, it went from that to, well, I didn't just come across town. I came from California. There are many of you that have actually paid that kind of a price. You didn't outgive God. God is blessing you now and will bless you with interest. And on top of it, you got a testimony. Hallelujah. Leviticus. The book of Levi. It's the mystery of the lives of the Levites. It's the story of the Levites, and it speaks of what they did amongst the people. Deuteronomy 17, verse 8. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then thou shalt arise and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire. And they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. That's why we're not supposed to take anyone to the law. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. If we can't judge in the house of the Lord, we can't judge. But judgment begins here, the Word of God. We've been given the Word and revelation. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which the Lord shall choose shall show thee, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee. So what's that a type of? Well, I'm going to go talk to the pastor and need some advice on something. Okay, so you come and talk. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear. The priests and the Levites, they have the Urim Thummim, and they judge the matters of the people by the word of the Lord. Isn't it something that Levi, who dealt in judgment unrighteously, ends up judging righteously? They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, showing that there will be those that rise against the Levites, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. Saying, cut them off. Cut off their seed. Strike them in the loin. Just. Bless, Lord, his substance. Well, wait a minute. They don't have any substance. Their substance is the ministering of the word. It's the incense. It's the sacrifices. It's the offerings. It's the ministering to the people. That is their substance. The feasts. These different things that they're called to do. He says, God bless the work of their hands. Now, the work of their hands is not the trades of the world. The work of their hands is the work of the Lord. God bless the work of their hands. Why? So the people will be blessed. If the ministry is blessed with these things, Lord, then the entire nation will be blessed. Remember, once again, we're going through this tribe by tribe. Remember, Judah had their place. Remember how much we need Judah. How much we need that praise drive. How much we need that tribe that goes before the battle. We need that in the body. The rest of the body is blessed because Judah is blessed. We also need this. Jeremiah 15:10 reads like this. Woe is me. Listen to Jeremiah. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and of contention to the whole earth. That's what a preacher is. It starts here. It's not you. But you're not the only ones that are here tonight. There's spirits that are in this building tonight. And they want to shut up the mouthpiece of God. They hate the one that's carrying the burden of the Lord. And Jeremiah is recognizing this. He says, thou hast borne me a man of strife, a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury. You know, they weren't supposed to lend and charge interest. Nor men have lent to me on usury. Yet every one of them doth curse me. Preachers are hated by many. But it's not just preachers. You stand for the Lord, you'll be hated too. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. And you'll also receive his hatred. You'll take a stand, you'll pay for it. But you'll receive a great reward in this life and the life to come. So notice, these people aren't coming at this prophet with a sword. The Levites aren't trained in how to fight with swords or lasers or missiles. I wish I could use one of the things I worked on just once. Not on anybody in particular, but just I like to see stuff blow up. You get to see the works of your hands. Oh man, I hope I don't get locked up for this. I really need that time off. Now he's wanting to blow stuff up. There's a lot of firemen that become firemen because they like fire. So they can have these little controlled burns and nobody gets hurt. They didn't start it, but they go and put it out. Well, praise the Lord. So they don't come after them with swords. But the preachers receive wounds, and their wounds are internal. And most people will never know. They'll hide these things. They'll internalize them. Preachers don't share with everybody what they can't. They have to hide things in their heart. So he labors in the word on behalf of the people. He prays with them, cries with them, marries them, buries them, baptizes them. And yet not everybody appreciates them for the service to the body. Verse 11, Deuteronomy 33:11. Bless, Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him and of them that hate him. that they rise not again. Listen, friends, if you lose Levi, you lose Israel. Why do you think there's such an attack? I'm trying to close. Why do you think there's such an attack on ministers in this hour? Why do you think some of us have to stand up and defend it? Smite the shepherd, scatter the sheep. We don't need no stinking preachers. Yes, you do. Paul said so, and you said. We're resting on it. I taught what Paul taught. Amen. We're resting on it. We need every part of the body. But we do need the Levites. We need living word to go forth. And excuse me, that tape is not living word. God can take what's on that tape, and by His Spirit in you, He can inspire you. But He can do that with your Bible too. But that doesn't replace the hearing of the Word. Just be honest tonight. You know that God speaks to you many times, in a more personal way through the preaching of the Word than He ever does with you picking up and opening up the Bible and trying to interpret what you just read for yourself. Well, this is what it says, so I'm supposed to move to Kentucky. No, that wasn't the Lord speaking to you. Simeon is absorbed, and the nation of Israel continues on. But if Levi is absorbed, and Levi is lost, Israel is lost. Levi, recall, Levi is the glue that holds it together. You lose your walk with God, you've lost everything. I lost my home. You get another one. Not being insensitive, but it's not the end of the world. I lost my car. You just got out of a payment. Hallelujah. There's another one. I lost my job. There's another one. I lost my walk with the Lord. You've lost everything. Can I just introduce Benjamin here for just a moment? And of Benjamin, verse 12, he said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders." So Benjamin, in the natural, Benjamin was the beloved of his natural father. He was the youngest, and he was his mother was Rachel, as Joseph. They had the same mother, same father. He was beloved. And we know, friends, that God loves each one of us in a special way. And God loves these different ones, these different patriarchs of Israel, tribes of Israel. He loves them all in a special way. But Benjamin was the only one that was called the beloved of the Lord. And God shows His love to each of the tribes. You say, well, I don't agree with that, or I don't think that's fair. Well, isn't it interesting that Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him just about everywhere He went? He didn't take everybody. He took those guys. And those guys saw things that other people didn't see. Were they loved more than others? They were loved in a different way. But even amongst them, John writes a whole lot more than James does. Does that mean that God loves John more than James? He loves them both. And He loves others. Listen to what Jacob said about Benjamin here before we close. Genesis 49, verse 27. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. That means he's going to be, you know, like a raving wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey. And at night he shall divide the spoil. I've heard different men that are real hunters. You know, I'm just a guy that likes to hunt, but there are men that are real hunters. They really know what they're doing, and they really understand animals and their nature. And And they can outsmart them because they've studied them. They really understand them. And I haven't heard a person yet that really understands the wolf that has good things to say about the wolf. Wolves can be fierce and they can be cruel. They can attack just to attack. And not even, they don't even eat what they've attacked. And this is kind of describing a little bit of the nature of Benjamin. So that's why the tribe of Benjamin isn't called to preach. Because they're too vicious. God doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that the sword won't be swung. It doesn't mean that the word won't be preached and, you know, the gloves taken off. But if Benjamin was left to handle the word, there'd be blood running everywhere. Because they have a warlike character. And they're supposed to. Are you listening? I will pull over, I promise. I didn't say when, but I will. Judges chapter 3, verse 15. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, a man left-handed. Now, they make this point of him being left-handed. There weren't too many that were left-handed, and you know, it doesn't describe what the significance of that was, but does point out, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. So these are fierce men that were called to do certain things. Judges chapter 20, verse 15. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities, 26,000 men that drew the sword, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone, listen to this, Brother JJ, everyone could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. I want that guy on my archery team. I'm hunting with that dude. They were called to this. They were skilled. They had a purpose to fulfill. You know, God has bold ones in the body that... F.F. Bosworth was bold that way. F.F. Bosworth could throw a stone and hit a hare. That Mr. Best, that theologian in Houston Coliseum, you know, calls Brother Branham out on the carpet, calls him all kinds of names, and he's a hypocrite, and I'm going to run him out of town. And he calls Brother Branham up to a debate, and Brother Branham said, God's servants don't argue. And Brother Bosworth says, let me at him. And he took him apart piece by piece by piece with the scripture, with the right spirit, with the right attitude. But he'd asked him, what was the question? You know, do you believe that... The seven redemptive names of Jehovah, who was that? Is that the Lord Jesus Christ? And, you know, because Reverend Best is saying that God don't heal anymore and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. And he says, with these seven redemptive names, was that the Lord Jesus or not? Just didn't leave. There was no... This guy was so infuriated afterwards because there was nowhere to hide. But he very calmly and very skillfully took them apart. Look at Israel today. Israel today is Benjamin. Right? The remnant. It's Benjamin. Don't mess with Benjamin. Unless you want to lose an eye. Fierce. They don't believe in eye for an eye. They believe in thigh for an eye. They'll take out 10 for every one. 1 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 40. And the sons of Olam were mighty men of valor, archers. Hallelujah. There's a place for archers. Are you sore? Are you sore? I'm not either. We played Cowboys and Indians yesterday. I need a break, don't I? We did a little target shooting, and I shot until I couldn't pull the bow back anymore. And I'm not sore, but usually it takes 2 days. Not claiming it, but... The sons of Olam were mighty men of valor, archers. So, see, you can... There's archery in the scripture. I don't think you guys ought to be... Hey, it's scriptural. I got an amen all the way in the back there. Hallelujah. And had many sons and sons' sons. And 150. All these are the sons of Benjamin. 2 Chronicles 14:8. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears. Out of Judah, 300,000. Out of Benjamin, that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All of these were mighty men of valor. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. The chronicles or the commentators say, in the morning they would seize and devour the prey. In the evening they would divide the spoil, by which words he describes their diligence in plundering. In other words, you didn't want the Benjaminites to be your enemy. Because if they're going to go to war, they're going all the way. Now they're not going to exercise insanity the way that Levi and Simeon did, but they're the tribe that's called to go to war. And there's a time to do battle with the devil. There's a time to do battle what's the word that I'm looking for? Besetting sin. There's a time to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. There's a time to let that little Benjamin rise up in you and tell that devil, no more. I ain't taking this any longer. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. You may have mopped the floor with me in times past, but I'm done. I'm not going there any longer. I'm going to war. And I'm going to bring prisoners. Amen. I'm not going to be the prisoner any longer. I'm going to bind every demon that's been hounding me and cast them out. Amen. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. It really is that simple. Well, then why doesn't it happen more often than not? Because we don't get sick and tired of being sick and tired. We don't reach that point where we say, you know what? I'm tired of being a victim. Come on, church, help me out. I'm no longer going to play the victim card. I'm no longer going to say, well, because of my mom or because of my dad or because of my childhood or because of this or because of the church or because of the pastor or because of my wife or because of the dog or because of the president. There comes a point where you just say, you know what? I don't care how this happened. I'm done with it. I am just through. I'm going to war. The battle cry is coming forth. And I got a stone in my hand. And this stone is accurate. It's the word of God. And it will split a hair. Amen. It will go to war. And it will take my enemy down. I am ready to use what God has given me. I am ready to put into action what God has placed in my hand. What do you got in your hand? It doesn't matter what you got in your hand. Just let God use it. Put it into action. Amen. And you'll see devils move back. Friends, the scripture says, Brother Augie, it says in I think it's the book of Ezekiel, it says, you know, we're going to look at the devil on that day. And we're going to say, that's the guy? That's the one that caused me to tremble? That's the one that I was afraid of. You say, oh, Brother Baker, you better be careful making statements like that. You don't want to tempt the devil. There's no scripture about tempting the devil. There is a scripture about don't tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. Amen. I'm not picking a fight with the devil. I'm in a fight with the devil. When did it start? When I was born again of the Spirit of God. When I was born again, I entered into a battle. Now, you've got a choice tonight. You can either say land for peace. You can say like Israel, well, let's just cohabitate with our neighbors and we'll have peace. How's that working out? We'll just give them a little bit more land and we'll have peace. How's that working out? You can't have your enemy living in your land and have peace. There is no cohabitation. There is no, well, devil, you take this part and I'll take that part. Right? So that tactic's not going to work. Right? Well, I'm just not going to pick up my sword. Well, guess what? You don't pick up your sword, there's a sword coming at you. You're going to get hurt whether you decide to go into battle or not. Well, I'm just going to kind of lay low and, you know, kind of hope that I, by keeping my head down, that, you know, I'll somehow get through this. I'll just escape this. How's that worked out? There's a better approach. And that better approach is to take what God has given you. Friends, you've been given the restored word that prophets of old longed to see. And it's in your hand tonight. Amen. The sword of the king came into the prophet's hand, but the prophet isn't here now. You are. Now it's in your mouth. The word of God is nigh me, even in my mouth, in my lips. Amen. The word of the Lord. It'll defeat the devil anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. If there was a time to fight, tonight's the time. If there was a time to fight, this hour is the time, because you can't lose. If you were living in another day, maybe you'd only come so far, but in this age, it's victory. It's complete and total victory. There's no excuses. God has completely equipped us. The Word of God is here tonight. The Word of God is ready, waiting for your command, waiting for you to speak according to that word. You want to speak the word? Speak the word. Don't go cooking up something to speak. Just speak what's already been said. Speak it by revelation. Tell that devil, I'm tired of this. I don't have to be a slave to pornography. I don't have to. I realize that as a male that there's going to be some kind of reaction when a woman is stripped off. It's just the way I'm constructed. It's just the way I'm made up. And if I wasn't made up that way, the human race would cease to exist. But I don't have to be a slave to that. I don't have to look. It can show up in front of me, but I don't have to stare at it. I don't have to allow my imagination to get away from me. I don't have to be a slave to this. I can be exposed to this in Satan's Eden and turn my head. But you've got to know that that's you. I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's for nobody. I kind of doubt it, but I don't know who it's for. But you're not going to get better down the road. You're equipped now. You just have to realize, you know what? I don't have to be a slave in Satan's Eden. God has equipped me to overcome this thing. And I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick of dealing with this. I'm sick of battling with it. I'm sick of everything that the enemy is using. And I've just had it. I'm going to stand on the word and I'm going to tell that spirit, that enticing spirit, I'm done. When it comes across my path, I'm going to turn my head. I'm going to put a cross on my mirror in my truck, in my car, whatever it is. Why? Because when that happens, I'm going to look to that cross. I'm going to say, oh Lord, you paid the price, so I don't have to be tormented by this. I don't have to be a slave by this. You don't. The victory's here. Doesn't matter what it is, friends. Doesn't matter. We could just go on down the list, you know, of all the things that the devil wants to make us a slave to. But you're the one that's going to have to stand up and say, you know what, I've been equipped. and I'm done. I'm ready. I am so done. No more excuses. No more pity parties. No more contrary. No more guilt. No more shame. Amen. I'm ready to see God take control of this in my life. I'm ready to overcome this thing in Satan's Eden. How many believes that's possible? If it ain't possible, let's go do something else. But we're serving a living God tonight. Amen. And we've been equipped for whatever comes our way. Well, Brother Baker, I just find myself depressed. Stop it. Stop it. Well, you're being insensitive. No, you've got a choice. You've got a choice. Well, you know, because of chemistry and because of this and because of that, I won't argue with any of that. But God, I don't care. It's the human grab bag. Some people talk too much. There's victory for that. Some people don't talk at all. There's victory for that. There's nothing that can't be overcome by the word of your testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. This is the time. This is the hour. This is the season for people to walk upright, to walk with the word of the Lord, to stand on His word and behold the glory of the Lord. And to have the Lord say, because you've done this thing, I'll give you this and I'll give you that. And I'll use you this way and I'll use you that way. I'll make you a city on the top of the hill. I'll make you a beacon in Tucson. I'll make you a beacon in Oro Valley. Whatever it is, I'll use you. Because I see you standing on my word. It's not popular. It's not easy. But I see you're not playing games. I see that when everything's coming against you, you're standing on my word. You threw the excuses out. You threw laziness out. You threw put it off into the future out. And you said, now is the time. This is the day that I'll serve the Lord. Young people, don't fall for something that I fell for. When I was younger, I told the Lord, I said, I can't serve you now, when I was a kid, because I looked at adults and I thought, it's easy for them to not lie and cheat and do all these different things because they're adults. They're not hanging around all the kids that I get influenced by. And whoever I'm around, I get influenced by this one or that one and peer pressure and all that. I can't do it now, Lord. But when I get older, I'll serve you. You realize I forgot completely about that. And I was so backslid that I wondered if I'd crossed the line. And when the Lord got a hold of me, and the very night that the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost, He reminded me, you told me that you'd serve me when you were older. You're older now. You're 28. You told me you'd serve me. I'm here to take you on your word. That's what I told Him. And He took me at my word. But you don't have to wait till you're 28. You can serve Him. You serve the same God tonight that I serve. It doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter how long I've walked in the Lord. You have the same authority tonight as a believer. You have the same overcoming power. You have the same word. And that word will defeat the devil anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. Don't wait till later on. Give Him the prime of your life. Give Him your very best. Oh, friends, this is the only time we're ever going to be able to serve Him. This is the only time that we'll ever be able to do anything for Him that means anything. Under pressure. What do you want written about you? We're reading about Levi and Moses and all these different ones. What do you want written about you? What would you like the word to say about you? I got news for you. It's already written about you. My question is, where are you identified in that book? Which portion of the word is speaking about you tonight? Let's stand. Hallelujah. You love Him. Amen. You know, isn't there something that just rises up in you in this hour? We may not, you know, we're not what we want to be. And we're not fully what we're going to be. but we sure aren't what we used to be. And when you see sin heaping up, insanity raising on every side, something rises up in you. Something rises up in you and it just wants to shout, that's wrong. Something in you. It's called righteous indignation. Indignation is not wrong if it's righteous. It's all right to be angry against sin. It's all right to take a stand over wishy-washiness. You can do that and sin not, because you don't hate the person that you're talking about. And you're not trying to destroy it. You're trying to help. Friends, there's a need. How many knows that? Sometimes you can sit and say, wow, that was rough. And it was all kind of cutting. And why does it have to be that way? Well, maybe you don't need it that way. But others do. I trust you do sometimes too. I need a good smack in the head every now and then. I don't mean it that way. I don't mean, you come out with bruises and a big gash and you look like Frankenstein or whatever. But what I'm saying is sometimes we just need the Word to just kind of shake us and wake us up. And when the Word does that, we realize it's the tender hand of Jehovah. God's not looking at you with a stick. He's not beating you down. He's telling you, you know what? Because you're my child, I love you. And I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to get after you. We can sit in a service like this and things can come up across that are pinpoint. Things can come across that, this is the kind of behavior that you ought to have and you shouldn't do this and you ought to do that. And you can think, well, that's just talking about me. Suck it up. Don't make it personal. Suck it up and say, Lord, thank you for being specific. I came to hear from you. And a yes from you and a no from you. Both of them are good. As long as it's you. I hear this thought coming all the time. Well, what gives you the right to get over yourself? And just thank God for caring enough about you to tell you the truth. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to be quick to repent? Are we going to be zealous? Say, Lord, I'm not trying to take chances with this. I'm not trying to see what I can do and get away with and still make it. I want to serve you. That's all I know. And if I have to give up something, I'm willing to do it. Amen. God wants you to be happy. Right, Brother Merritt? Hallelujah. He does. He wants good things for you. So when we need correction, we'll get it. When we need encouragement, we'll get that. I hope you're not one of those types that just, wants to, what's the name of that guy from, is it Texas? The big kind of prosperity, Joel Osteen. Is that what you want? You want me to grow my hair out? Have these little curls coming down to my shoulders? Go get some veneers put on my teeth? So God wants to bless you. There's a million of you here, and there's not a day goes by that I don't pray for you all. Who believes that? Just want it all to be positive. It sounds like a yoga session. Yummy, 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 yummy. Let the tensions roll out. I believe God has a sense of humor. He gave me a son to prove it. We'll go someplace. The next thing I know, my kid's sitting there like this. You're crazy, man. We're going to laugh or we're going to cry. This is a 7-course meal, and we need all of it.
Amen.
Now, if you're, just keep in mind tonight, if I was an evangelist coming from somewhere else, you'd be shouting your shoes off. Because you think, wow, that guy doesn't know anything about us. And look, he's just letting it all out. What does it matter whether a guy knows anything about you or not? God knows. Amen? And that's what's important. If we're always worrying about protecting our pride, or if we're sitting there trying to Monday night quarterback, I don't think it ought to be that way. Well, you have no idea what other people need. I wish I could include all of you in the conversations that are had after service. Brother Baker, that was exactly what I needed. That's exactly what I was going through. And my response many times is, no, it couldn't be, because Brother so-and-so said it was for him. And yet somebody will walk out here mad as a hornet. I was exposed. Well, why don't you focus on that then? Why don't you focus on the fact, don't shoot the messenger. Just be thankful that it applied.
Amen.
It's not to hurt anybody or beat anybody down. It's to set us free. How are you set free? It's not a trick question. Jesus told us. What sets you free? Oh, but you don't want the truth. That's the only way you'll be set free. That's true for all of us, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, you can call the rubber truck now. Tell them to come pick up your pastor and take him to the reservation. Lock him up. Put the what do they call that thing? The straight jacket. Yeah. Well, the world thinks I'm crazy. Why shouldn't you? If the world doesn't think you're crazy, there's something wrong. You are different.
Yes.
You're oddballs.
Yes.
We have no name amongst the people. We have no tribe amongst the people. We have no continuing city. But we have a city whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
And we're bound towards that city. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in case you're wondering, well, Brother Baker, do you ever get corrected? Talk to my wife. Talk to my kids. The Lord is harder on me than he is on you. I don't get by with anything. And I'm not complaining. I used to complain. I used to say, well, how come I go out and do things with my friends, they get a little slap on the hand, I get the book thrown at me. That's because I have a father. He said, if you're my child, you're going to get it. But if you're not my child, you'll never get disciplined because you're a bastard born. Right? But if you're my child, you're not getting away with anything. I don't want to get away with anything, do you? No, of course not. Of course not. So don't think for a moment that this is, you know, a finger pointing. You know, they used to say when we were growing up, you know, if you point your finger at somebody, there's three other fingers. I had to count. I really need help. You point your finger, there's three more fingers pointing back at you, right? Or how about this? How many fingers do you see? Five. No, there's four and a thumb. Point your finger, there's three more pointing back at you. There's nobody that wants to to chasten. But it's part of the word. And it's the burden of the word, but it's liberating. You hear Brother Brown talk about it all the time. He said, you know, that was some cutting. And then they'd start to worship and he'd say, oh, don't you feel scoured out? Isn't that what the Holy Ghost does? Just scours you out. You know, many times what we need scouring out, I'm closing. Many times what we need scouring out is all the excuses. And the word will come and, you know, it's easy for our thoughts to get jumbled. It's easy for the picture to get kind of fuzzy. It's easy to kind of lose our vision for a moment. But the word comes and clears that all up. And when the word does, you're thankful for it. It tunes you up. It washes you by the water of the word. And then you're ready to go out and face the battle again. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we just want to thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to serve you. Lord, to have all the truth that we have, and not just have the truth in letter form, but the person of the truth, Lord, to have the living word amongst us, vindicating itself, your presence amongst us, doing the things that you said that you would do, watching over your word. And Lord, we know that your word is in earthen vessels. You're watching over each one. Father, as we come to you tonight, we just ask that you'd sweep over our souls. Lord, that you move in and out of every heart. And Lord, if there's something that we're maybe dragging our feet on, if there's something that we're facing that we don't want to face or that we put off, Lord, give us the courage tonight. Lord, give us the faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by your word. Give us the faith, Lord, to take that word and thrust it in the heart of our enemy. Lord, to take it in a hand that's a believing heart, and Lord, to just hold it out there and just to declare what is real. To declare to our enemy what belongs to us and what doesn't belong to us, what we have to take and what we don't have to take. What could live on our land and what has to move off of our land? What belongs to us and has been given to us? It's in our will. It's in our testament. It's in our inheritance. Lord, give us the courage to stand. And Lord, it's not easy. You never said that it would be easy, but it's the right way. And Lord, there's great rewards in this life and the life to come. And Lord, when we stand on your unfailing words of promise, Lord, you'll never leave us hanging. You'll never abandon us. You'll never leave us out there to defenseless. Lord, you'll fight the battle and you'll bring your unfailing words of promise to pass. You'll bring the vindication. You'll bring the change. You'll bring the life. It's not something that we have to do, but it's something that we have to align ourselves with. It's something that we have to choose. It's a confession that we have to make. Lord, help us to not to compromise. Lord, the enemy would tell us time and time again, oh, it's just a little thing, but Lord, we know that it's all little things. But Lord, it's the little things that we leave undone. And it's the little things that we were told to watch. We were told to pay attention to the little things and that you would make sure that we caught the big things. Help us tonight, Lord, as your word has come our way once again and examined our lives. And Lord, you haven't thrown any of us under the bus. You haven't thrown any of us into hell. Our heels are not hanging over the flames of fire. And lives in the balance here tonight, Lord, I trust that we've all surrendered to you. We've all given our lives to you. We've all confessed you as our Savior and our King and our Lord. So, Lord, that's not what is in question here tonight. But Lord, as your word examines and passes through our lives, Lord, may that inspiration strike to just serve you with everything that's in us. Lord, unwavering, unshakable, unmovable. Lord, if we just stand on your word and confess your word. You said if we confess you before men, you'll confess us before the Father. Lord, we want to confess your word. We want to confess that it's true. We want to take the right stand, Lord. Not that we're bickering or fussing, but Lord, we're not compromising either. Lord, I'm not going to go around and tell everybody that I meet that I don't have a television. That's foolish and it's pointless, and that's not what you're calling us to do. But on the other hand, if I got in a conversation with someone and it came around to it, and they asked me point blank if I had a television, I would tell them that I didn't. And if they asked me why, I would tell them why. Lord, you're not asking us to do some great big supernatural thing, but Lord, to just take a stand for what we believe. Lord, if your word is, if we know that it's your desire for us to come into the house of the Lord, when the doors are open, when there's a service, Lord, we want to serve you. We want to do that more than anything. It's not legalism, it's love and it's a desire. We want to put you first. So Lord, we don't want to compromise on that. We don't want to put anything before it. And Lord, certainly we know that we can't live without our daily bread, spiritually speaking. Well, we certainly can't live without the assembling of ourselves together to hear the word either. That word must be preached. It must be preached in a living vessel. Your spirit must be the voice that brings life to it. And then you promise that you would reveal to us the very things that we've heard. The very same spirit that speaks would be the very same spirit that speaks to our hearts and tells us what it is that we heard. Help us, oh God. Help us to be unshakable, unwavering. Lord, not that we've got any confidence in ourselves, not because we think that we're some kind of a rugged thing or we're stronger than someone else or bigger than someone else, but Lord, we just want to go all the way. We just want to take a firm stand, an uncompromising stand in your word. Grant it tonight, Lord. Father, may the glory of the Lord be manifested in each and every life. Lord, I believe that there are promises that haven't even come into our minds yet that are based upon what we do with what we've been given. I believe great things are in store for us, Lord. You've told me that. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that our best days are before us. They're not behind us. And I'm not complaining about the days that are behind me or the days that I'm living. I just believe that there are greater and greater things. Lord, as we mature and we go higher in you, grant it tonight, Lord. I pray that your word would be a salve, that your spirit would bring comfort to each and every one. And Father, your word cuts, but your word also heals. Amen. Father, we just thank you for that tonight. We love you. We know that your motive and your objective is to take us higher. And so, Lord, we receive it that way. Bless each and every one now, Lord, as we commit each ourselves into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Next words, please. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song.
My enemies tell all my fears are.
and I'm no longer.